Welcome to the College Commons Podcast and our acclaimed author series, a partnership between HUC Connect, the online learning platform of the Hebrew Union College, and the Jewish Book Council, featuring conversations with authors recognized by the National Jewish Book Awards. My name is Joshua Holo, your host.
Welcome to the College Commons Podcast and today's conversation with author Danielle Sharkin. Danielle Sharkin is a teacher with a background in history, politics, and languages. She has degrees in political science and Jewish studies, as well as Middle Eastern studies and secondary education. She's also taught ESL for 10 years. She grew up in the Chicago suburbs, and she now lives with her family in Boulder, Colorado. Her recent book, Sharing Shalom, was named a Sidney Taylor Book Award Notable Book, and it won a 2024 National Jewish Book Award. Danielle Sharkin, welcome to the College Commons, and congratulations on Sharing Shalom and its recognition.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me here.
For my introduction, I drew from your online bio, in which you very carefully respected your designation of the place where you grew up, not as Chicago, but rather as the Chicago suburbs. In my experience, something serious is going on between Chicago and the suburbs. Chicagoans are really, really invested in preserving the distinction, aren't they? Or perhaps you're invested in Skokie pride? Which is it?
Good observation. Yes, sometimes when you're from the Chicago suburbs and you say you're from Chicago, Chicagoans don't like that. Although I actually grew up in Chicago proper until I was 5, and then we moved to the suburbs. That's why I designated that I grew up in the suburbs specifically, and also because that is where the event took place that Sharing Shalom inspired.
So we'll get back to Skokie in a minute. For now, I'd like to ask you about how your book transforms experience. For example, when you describe Hebrew school lessons of Torah, you transform them into adventure stories. And when you talk about going to Hebrew school, you invert the negative assumptions about Hebrew school and turn them into a place of joy. How conscious were you about trying to subvert people's experiences?
That's another good observation. Originally, I didn't use the same language when I was describing Hebrew school, but I had a few critiques, and this is picture books for young children. So I think it was just fitting to use my later adult experience in learning deeper meanings and connections with the stories to Lila's experience at Hebrew school. So originally I wrote a sort of negative connotation and then I changed that and I used my experience learning Torah in Israel as the base of what I imagined Lila learning. And I think that that worked out really well.
Well, it certainly left an impression on me. You do it again when you describe Hebrew language learning. You call learning Hebrew a treasure map. And I can't help but note that you are also a language teacher. How does learning a language, which for lots of people ranks up there with math as one of the most daunting or least idiosyncratic of subjects, feel like a treasure map?
That's how I experienced learning Hebrew and actually Arabic as well, because the Semitic languages have meanings behind the letters, behind the words. And I just found it really fascinating. I also dabbled a little bit in Kabbalah, and there's just really deep meanings behind the Hebrew letters. And I feel like that's something I never knew growing up, and most people don't know it. And it really adds a layer of depth into learning Hebrew. For example, I spelled out the word shalom, and just learning about why the letters look how they do, I just thought that would be a great little lesson to show how sort of magical and inspiring Hebrew can be.
Lila, our protagonist, loves her synagogue, and she takes it very personally when it's vandalized. And as a result, she naturally struggles with her sense of difference because it feels risky, particularly at school. Lila figures something out, however, when she pauses to notice how different and varied her classmates are as well. And in this way, generalized difference kind of relieves the pressure of her particular difference. And it occurs to me that this realization that Lila has seems to reflect two relatively recent and geographically specific realities. First, the demography of urban North America today, like Skokie, Illinois, which has many subcontinent Asians, for example, as well as still many Jews. Mm-hmm. And it also reflects, in the second instance, the cultural valorization of diversity. I think that you're young enough for this social reality to be the one in which you grew up. But I wonder if you were raised on your parents' and grandparents' stories of a very different reality.
That's an interesting question. I actually heard stories about my great-grandfather who learned Spanish and different languages as he worked in Maxwell Street, their men's clothing business. And I think that the experience of Chicago Jews, at least, there is a huge, you know, population, and they did live in similar places together. And there was always a big population where I grew up, but there was also a lot of other types of people. So growing up, I didn't feel that different for being Jewish. I know that there's probably a lot of people who grew up like that, and I wanted to represent a girl who was growing up among a lot of different cultures.
The College Commons podcast belongs to HUC Connect, the online platform for continuing education from the Hebrew Union College. HUC Connect includes webinars, syllabi for community learning, and masterclasses for HUC alumni, with interviews, expert panels, and classroom materials on topics ranging from the arts to civil society, Israel, and much more. Check us out at huc.edu/HUC Connect. Now, back to our interview.
As the story goes, thankfully, the community, and I think you imply that both the Jewish and the non-Jewish community alike, rises to the occasion to support the synagogue after the vandalism. And when Lila sees this communal support, she returns to school, now fully celebrating her difference. And then at show and tell, she chooses to share something that is both universal but also particular to her Jewishness, namely the Hebrew word shalom. Notably, it seems that you and Sarina Alko, the illustrator, collaborated to design this panel of show and tell for the word shalom with the Hebrew word shalom, but without the word in English, either in the illustration or in the text. Tell us a bit about that choice.
Well, you know, Selena Knight never spoke until the book was almost published. So I sent my manuscript to the editor. She sent it to Selena, and she had pretty much her own say in creative freedoms in everything she did. And that's a good observation. I'm not sure why she did that. Probably because it was represented in the first part of the book in Hebrew. And so by the end, I think she was hoping that the readers will recognize the word that was taught in the Hebrew lesson.
You may have noticed that I described sharing shalom as a picture book for children, my intention being to leave implicit the fact that there are picture books for adults as well. What do you make of the resurgence of comics and the importation of manga as a mainstream genre, not just for kids?
I think that picture books have a lot of power due to the illustrations and the meanings behind them. It's a storytelling tool, just like regular literature. When I did write Sharing Shalom, I sort of also wrote it for adults as well, so that they can use it as a way to explain anti-Semitism to children. And so I think that it's a great use of trying to talk about hard topics I think adults can also benefit. And every adult friend that I've had read the book, they've been able to relate to something about what's written, either being different or learning things about Judaism. And I just feel like there's a lot that can be said and taught with picture books for all ages.
In your author's note, you let us know that Lila's story was inspired by a story of your own, namely the vandalization of your Skokie synagogue in 1990. What surprised you about writing a story inspired by your own experience?
Good question. So I actually had to dig deep to think about a time that I experienced anti-Semitism. And so as a lot of things were happening in 2016, 17, I was teaching at a JCC at the time, and there were some threats. It was all sort of hushed. I was like, I don't know why that happened. And I actually did the research, and I went and looked at articles about it. And I was like, oh, that was at the time of the Gulf War. And so it sort of filled a blank, because I thought that I never had experienced anti-Semitism. So it surprised me that that little experience that I had was actually really significant, and that can help a lot of people, kids and adults, who are going through that now.
Well, thank you for writing Sharing Shalom. It's a delightful book, and it was a real pleasure to talk to you on the College Commons podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the College Commons podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. And check out HUC Connect, compelling conversations at the forefront of Jewish learning. For more information about all that HUC Connect has to offer, visit huc.edu/HUC Connect.